Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. I would like to thank the founders of the Seika Network for giving me this opportunity to do this show and bring you guys all the wonderful things about Reiki and putting out this show to the public where we are talking weekly about Reiki. All things surrounding Reiki, its discovery, its roots, etc. Reiki is a universal life force energy and is an intelligent energy of love and wholeness. It understands the cause of problems and what healing is necessary. Reiki energy has a wisdom of its own, healing and balancing all aspects of a person's mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Reiki is a blessing, an instantaneously conferred sacred potential for healing, protection, and personal and spiritual development. For more information on Reiki, you can visit my website, which is www.violetrosereiki.com. You can also email me directly at rose@violetrosereiki.com. You can also find me on Facebook as Violet Rose Reiki. Also on Facebook, I have a page that is called Reiki Ward. And this page was formed to provide free Reiki distance healing for humans and animals alike, all over the world, to whoever requests it. You request a healing on Reiki Ward just by posting as you would on any other Facebook page. And once you paste your healing request on Reiki Ward, we get to it as soon as possible, and we start working on it. And sometimes if the requests come in after midnight Eastern Standard Time, we may not get to it till the following morning, but we do get to them and we do start working on them. And once we start working on your request, we also put your healing request on our Reiki healing grid, our distance healing grid, and that is for 24/7 constant energy healing. Reiki Ward and the, I have to say, it's over 200 plus practitioners that help us out there on the ward, does 2 to 3 rounds of healing every day at a minimum. So feel free to post your healing requests up on Reiki Ward and allow us to help you and yours whoever needs the healing. It could be for yourself. It could be for a friend. It could be for your, like I said, for your animals. It could be for a relative, whoever, whatever. We are there to help. This evening, my guest is Janet Emmert. And Janet is a Reiki master, teacher, and practitioner. She's a native New Yorker and grew up right here on Long Island, where I am. I'm in Westbury, New York. She's now living in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is another one of my favorite places. She was introduced to Reiki in 2007 by a friend. After her beloved cat, Norm, was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy, she decided to learn Reiki, hoping it would benefit him and possibly slow down the progression of the disease. With a combined approach of veterinary, Reiki healing, and lots of love, Norm survived 2.5 years longer than originally expected. With Norm's encouragement, Janet became a certified Reiki master practitioner and teacher who has worked with numerous clients and animals over the past 7 years. And we are going to be speaking to Janet in just a moment. Just going to take a little break and we'll be back.
Dear parents, much of what we learn in this world comes directly from you.
Whatever your message is, it will become part of us forever.
Please teach us to accept one another. Teach us to respect one another.
Please, do not fill our minds with hatred. Do not expose us to bigotry.
Do not teach us to judge each other
by race,
religion,
orientation, or the color of our skin.
Teach us the concept of tolerance.
Teach us to understand one another.
Teach us to accept people
of different cultures
and persons with different beliefs than yours.
Please help us to create a world
where every man, woman, and child is treated equally.
Dear parents,
please don't teach us words of hate.
We learn from you every moment.
If you use certain words
which might be hurtful to others,
we will repeat that word.
Please don't show us acts of hate.
If you act against people of different faith,
we will repeat your actions.
Dear parents, we are your children.
And we are relying on you
to help us create a world where every person is tolerant of one another.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over 1 million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
And now, on with the show.
You're listening to Violet Reiki Radio on the Seika Network through blogtalkradio.com. With your host, Reiki Shihan Rose Jimenez, your source for all things Reiki, in love, light, and healing.
Hi, we're back. Thank you very much. The chat room is now open. And let's see if we have Janet with us. Good evening. You're on Violet Reiki Radio. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Rose. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. This is, I love what you're doing.
Oh, you're welcome. I love what I'm doing, too. And I'm very happy that that you could join me. It's an honor to have you here.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
I had to open up the chat room, so I had to do a really quick break in the beginning. I apologize, but anyway, I'm a solo host and a little envious of these hosts who, you know, co-hosts, because I need one, I think. It's hard. You
think?
Cook a bottle washer. It's like, what do we do now? Oh, God, I forgot the chat room. So I love the story of how you know, I was thinking earlier, I have to ask her how she came to Reiki, but that says it all. That's exactly how you came to Reiki, is it not?
It is, and it's crazy. I was working with a life coach, and, you know, shocking, I had some blocks, and he sent me to the lady in the office next to him for some Reiki, and I tried it, and it was great, and there was definitely clarity after the first and second session. Then I found out she Reiki'd animals. I was like, wow, it just happens to be, this just happened with Norm. And it was very upsetting, and I was really worried about him. And, you know, it's a progressive disease, so they gave him 3 to 6 months. So I was really kind of, he was taking medication, but that was all I could do. So I kind of thought, wow, I'll have her come and Reiki Norm. So then I found out she did that, and it was wonderful, and I loved her, Heather Nelson. She's amazing. And then basically I figured when I learned she taught, I could either have her come for $25 a pop, or, you know, this is my mentality back then. I'm thinking, well, for $150, I could learn to do it myself.
Right.
And it was really, you know, it was truly, it's obvious to me looking back now that Norm and my connection and that love between us had its purpose for many, many reasons, and one of them was to take me on this path and this journey. And it changed my life. It changed how I look at everything. So, and then the results of it were the icing on the cake. But, you know, he died just shy of 3 years, but he did amazingly well with it and with the medications and the care he got. So it's, you know, it's kind of funny when I look back now and think how it all came about. And how blasé I was about it. I had no idea what I was opening my life to. And, you know, I probably would have, I don't know if I would have run screaming or not. It was just way too much for me to even wrap my head around. But it really changed everything, and it's been wonderful.
So he died just short of 3 years. That's after initiating the Reiki treatment?
Yes, after his diagnosis, but the Reiki started maybe a month after, but he was given typically 3 to 6 months. He was only 7, and he was, so he was still young even at 10, but at 7, when he was given 3 to 6 months, it was like, wow. But he was a character, and he was an amazing, amazing cat. He used to put his paws on my chest, and I swear he used to give me healing. He was crazy. So it was all meant to be.
People find that odd, but I don't know what goes on with you. I always have a cat in the house. I didn't for 2 years. I lost my Rascal in a house fire back in 2010. But even Rascal, when he was alive and I'd be doing Reiki on clients, he would be coming in. And if I was lying on the couch and maybe not feeling 100%, he'd come along, and I swear he would start walking up and down the length of my body. So I guess that was kind of like animal bios and scanning. And then he would find the spot and just like throw himself on my body, like, okay, this is where I need to Reiki.
Yes.
He would just give, I would feel the energy.
I would get, I would frequent with sinus infections that would often lead to like very sore throat. And there was one episode where, you know, I was using crystals, I was trying anything and everything, and at some point he just stepped, I was laying flat in bed face up, and he stepped over my face and stopped, and he just laid down across the bridge of my nose and my eyes, and I'm hysterically laughing, but I swear he knew the spot where I was miserable.
Yeah, because it's like all of a sudden they go like, okay, this is the spot, blunk.
Like, yeah, but you can't make that stuff up, you know, and that's where it drives me crazy when the medical professionals and the scientists talk about placebo effect. It just makes me nuts because, you know, if you've practiced with children or animals, that there are things you can't explain that they couldn't have known that happen, that prove there's something there. They feel it. They see it. They sense it. So,
yeah. And I mean, how many placebo effects have there been and are there with pills? You know, there are many people, you give them a sugar pill and you say, okay, this is going to cure whatever ails you, and they take it and it's nothing. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, I don't have any more symptoms. That works great. I'm fantastic. You know, but because it comes from the medical profession who has, you know, a solid standing and been around, and doctors, and we're all indoctrinated and brainwashed and convinced here in the West that, yeah, that's the route to go. That's the,
yep.
Yeah.
I'm always so impressed when I meet somebody in the medical field who is open to it and wants to learn, or just wants to know a little bit about it. It gives me such hope for humanity. It really does, because I always say, if you're skeptical about it, you got to try it, because there are things about it that I can't explain, that you almost have to experience it to fully understand how powerful it is.
Exactly. I mean, I went to the New York City Reiki Conference back in 2012, and they had wonderful presenters there. As a matter of fact, one of the presenters was a doctor by the name of Gloria Gronowitz, and she is the director of the Skeletal, Craniofacial, and Oral Biology Graduate Program Departments of Surgery and Orthopedic Surgery. She's a professor at the University of Connecticut Health Center. And I remember years ago, 2006, when I was compiling my website, I was looking for someone, anyone, who was going to be talking about how energy healing, how Reiki, how it works, that it is valid. And she did an in-depth study. It was a 3-year study that she had conducted, suggesting that test tube cells grew better when people trained in Reiki, Reiki practitioners, passed their hands over the containers.
So
long story short, she had wonderful results with that study. She was there. Also, another presenter, Dr. Sheldon Mark Feldman. He is the chief breast surgery doctor at Columbia, and NYP Columbia. And he has Reiki practitioners in his operating room before and after breast surgery, before, during, and after breast surgery. So,
and he's,
you know,
not the only one. There are some in the Pennsylvania area that do that as well. I think it's wonderful.
I ran over to this doctor like a maniac at the conference, you know, when he had finished, and, you know, toward the end, and I had to shake his hand. I said, "You're marvelous. You're wonderful. We need more like you, because you get it. You're a doctor and you get it, and you understand it, and you're applying it in your own world, in your own surroundings. I mean, you really are trying to do all you can do to help your patients and heal people. It's amazing." Because there really are, we really need more. Really are not enough.
Yep. No, it's true. And I always think, like, whenever somebody tells me, it's somebody I know or care about or whatever, that they're going in for surgery, I'm always like, oh, my God, let me Reiki you. I won't even charge for it. Just, like, let me get you in here and Reiki you before. It will give you such a better just going into it. And, you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But if I can track them, if I can hunt them down and drag them in, I get them in to do it. And back, Izzy, I'm not subtle. I told you I'm a native. I'm a native.
You're a native New Yorker. Yeah, we run around, we grab people, we scream, we yell, hey.
Talked to people for years with Reiki, but honestly, what they'll tell me is they felt more calm going into surgery. And I look at, if you just want to talk science, if somebody feels more at peace with a procedure that they're going in for that would normally make anybody anxious, if they get a better night's sleep, if their blood pressure is lower and not raised by anxiety, and they've had a good night's sleep and they're feeling okay going into it, if nothing else, if that alone is starting them off in a better place pre-surgery than most of the other people being operated on that day, you know, and then you add to it all the other things, less post-op infection, less, post-operative pain, less bleeding during surgery and less complications. I mean, these things are documented, and it's kind of like I look at the doctors and I think, I guess they have to be careful not to, you know, lose credibility with patients. But I think about it and I think, wow, if I were a doctor and, you know, I cared about my statistics on successful surgeries, darn right I'd offer or suggest or whatever, work something out so somebody had something that gave them a better chance of having complications and problems. That's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly. And I'm not beating up on the medical community. The next statement I'm going to make is, it's global, it's universal. I see it happening in every industry. We kind of came away from years ago the integrity of doing what you do to help people, be there for people, provide a service, provide something to your clients, to your customers. We somehow have morphed into gimme, gimme, gimme. It's all about the bottom dollar. It's all about me making money, and I want a lot of things and stuff that is not necessary. But this is where we've gone. And I know that was the mentality in the 80s and the 90s. And I know those days are no longer here. But I'm also amazed at how many people are still holding on to those ideas, those methods, that mentality, and haven't let it go yet. I mean, the new generation, those born, I'd say, in the 80s, and in the 90s, those guys are doing great because they got the message. You know, they know what it's about. They know that it's not about all of that stuff I just mentioned. Like these young teenagers who are coming up with cures for cancer or tests for cancer and everything. It's amazing.
I know.
You know, you say to yourself, well, where are all the guys who've been spending the billions of dollars of government grants for this cancer, that cancer, and then you get a kid who comes up, I can't think of his name, I wish I could remember, maybe I'll see if I could find it over on Reiki Ward. I had put up his name a while back. He had come up with a test wherein he could test if you have cancer with like a strip or something in minutes. And
yeah.
You know, that's a lot of money saved, but we're working against, well, again, that's just beating up on the insurance companies. But the insurance companies, they're not going to like that. The pharmaceutical companies, they're not going to like that. And I dare say, I'm sure even there are doctors and hospitals who are not going to like that because billions of people stand to lose a lot of revenue if there are cures. If there are ways to heal, if there are ways to get rid of disease that people are living with right now and spending thousands of dollars on, you know, to get well.
Well, I mean, I absolutely agree. But then I look at the insurance companies. And if you just want to talk about, because I definitely, this holistic energy journey that I'm on is new to me. I was not necessarily born in an environment that really introduced a lot of this to me. So it did take me a while to adjust to new thinking. It did, in fact, change how I saw everything. But I also still have that part of me that is very practical and very, you know, like I get the big picture. But if you just talk about dollars and cents in the insurance industry, to not pay for things like chiropractic and fitness and supplements, you know, and Reiki and meditation and yoga, to not at least help supplement them for people, and then to wait until somebody's diagnosed with cancer and ends up paying for a massive surgery, you know, rehabilitation, long hospital stay, you're talking about a fraction of the price. And I grant it, I get that there are bean counters, and if they don't pay for 1,000 people, maybe only one or two of them really get sick and cost them a lot of money. But to be honest with you, I think the statistics are starting to fall on the other side of it, where more and more people are ending up being diagnosed. I have never seen so many young women being diagnosed with autoimmune disease and things like that. Autoimmune mm-hmm. disease, where the body's attacking itself.
Right.
What is that about? And I can't imagine you're spending the money, the insurance company spending the money on rheumatologists and all of these other things and medications and, you know, immunosuppressant drugs that then leave you wide open to a bunch of other issues and problems and cancers and so forth, that this is the best they have to offer. You know, I can't help but to think, is it really cost effective to not support people in the wellness end of it as a preventative measure rather than, you know, doing these surgeries and expensive therapies on, you know, on the back end of it? I don't know. To me, it seems so common sense, but it must not be because it's not being done.
Well, it is common sense, but, you know, what you're bucking up against here is a cultural mindset. It's not the Western mindset in this culture to do preventative. You know, we always wait until something goes horribly awry, until we're deep in the muck and the mire, and then we go, oh, my God, help. I mean, look at the debt in this country. Everybody's using credit
yeah.
cards. Everybody's getting mortgages they can't afford. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, you know, who can I point the finger to? We're not preventative. We are not, we don't hold ourselves self-responsible. It's like, who can I point the finger at? And who can fix this quickly? It's horrible. It's really bad. I know years ago, I called up a massage person here in Westbury, and she said, she suggested insurance. I think she asked me if I had insurance, health insurance, and I did. And she said, well, you can get a discount. And I said, a discount on massage through health insurance? Seriously? And she said, yeah. And what the insurance company at that time was doing, I don't know who it was, I don't remember, but they would give me 50% off of a massage because it was looked at as preventative. Like, they were one of the few insurance companies that looked at preventative medicine, which was great. And I know now, I believe, some insurance companies are taking insurance. Well, I know my chiropractor takes insurance. He has some kind of insurance plan, which is a godsend. And so he takes insurance. And I also think there's some acupuncturists who take and accept insurance as well. It kills me to tell people who call in to me and say, do you take insurance? It kills me to say no. But, you know, we can't yet.
I know. Oh, I know. Well, the funny thing about the acupuncture is when I worked with and in the office of a chiropractor, they had a wonderful acupuncturist. It was car accident. Car insurance companies, auto insurance, and workman's comp were paying for acupuncture for pain management. And that's why all of a sudden you started seeing acupuncture popping up all over the place, because now that the insurance companies are paying for it, people are getting the treatments and the help, and more doctors are working in unison with acupuncturists. So it gives me hope for other modalities like Reiki that, you know, maybe will start to change.
Yeah, I think little by little, it will change and we'll get there, but it's a tough battle.
It is. And sometimes I just get tired and frustrated, and I have to try really hard not to go there and not to focus on that, because it's just negative and draining. But, you know, sometimes it is, it's like they want the proof, they want the evidence, but, you know, it's like, okay, come and try it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, a lot of people, there's misconceptions all over the place. A lot of people think, you know, I'll go for one Reiki session and bam, I'll be cured, as if like it doesn't work like that. And I know I myself offer a lot of discounts for people because I know, you know, whatever therapy it is, whatever you're doing, it's a lot of money if you need to go every week or every other week or what have you. So I always offer people like that who come to me and I see that they're going to need at least, you know, a month, two, three of Reiki. I have special deals for them and say, look, you know, take this deal. It'll cost you X amount of dollars per week and you won't go broke. A lot of people who come to me for counseling, if they come for counseling and Reiki, they have another deal too, because you want to make, my whole thing is I want to make healing and personal growth and spiritual growth available to people so that they can afford it, and also that, you know, I'm not working for absolutely zero. But
I agree. No,
yeah.
I've done the same thing, and it's hard for me to see that very often the people who need it the most are at that crossroads in their life where, you know, they're out of work or they're going through a crisis or a divorce and they're starting over again and they don't have the money. And I can't just be like, sorry, can't
sorry.
Help you.
Right.
Now, even if we barter or something, I always try and work it out. I understand that there has to be a responsibility on their part to make it worth something, because I do think sometimes that people don't value something that's just free and that they don't have, you know, it's almost like they think they're getting what they pay for. So there kind of has to be a balance, and it's sometimes hard to figure that out, but I'm with you. I mean, one of the things I am passionate about, aside from the animals, because if an owner won't pay for Reiki but the animal needs it, I can't walk away from the animal. I just can't.
Right.
But the other thing I'm passionate about other than the animals is veterans. And working with them and seeing where Reiki can assist them in this journey once they're home and they're dealing with acclimating back to civilian life and such. So I offer free Reiki to veterans or even active
service.
Oh,
that's cool. That's cool.
I feel like they don't have to pay. They've already paved the way for
me. They've already paid, yeah. They
this is my payback, not theirs. So...
that's great.
You know, but even changing that mentality, it's, but the military is starting to see the value of meditation and yoga and Reiki and things. They're starting
yes,
to recommend.
Yes, they are. I was amazed. You know, the few little news things that I heard about the military really is starting to change in a really very positive way. I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. And I think because with PTSD, it is so complicated. It's not just a simple medical thing where you can take a pill and, you know, alter, you know, your chemistry and stuff. It's so much more complicated. And that's the beauty of the Reiki. It works on the level of mind, body, and spirit, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. So it really kind of can make some adjustments and balance things that are really, you know, everybody's different. And how they respond to it is unique to them. So I think we're just at the beginning of seeing where we might be able to help in these areas of trauma and crisis and stuff. And I'm really excited about it.
Right, because I have never had a PTSD client. I'm amazed, but I never have. And I have friends who have, and I even have friends who in their family they have veterans who have the PTSD. From what I know about it, it really does. It's an illness that goes deep, core deep, and it's impossible for any one kind of pill, medication, counseling, psychotherapy to actually get to. And it seems like Reiki is perfect because Reiki does permeate all those energy fields of the body, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual. So you, Reiki really gets in there deep and can really do a lot of help with the healing.
It does. And I think it goes to the same thing if somebody has lived 70 years with certain really toxic behaviors. It's going to take more than one or two sessions of Reiki to work things out. And I think it's the same for trauma victims or veterans where, depending on how many tours they've had, depending on the level, the depth of what they've seen and what they've been through and what they've experienced in active duty, is going to really depend on the level at which it's permeated everything, their being. So I think, you know, one, just like anyone else with Reiki, one veteran could notice some improvement or ease of symptoms very quickly, where another, it may be a hard, you know, some bit of journeying and really working it out before they get to where they want. And that's where you just have to kind of hopefully go in without too many expectations and just hope that it helps. Because what I'm hearing from veterans on some of, you know, the PTSD sites is that they're not happy with what's being offered to them, which is sleeping medication, antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds. They don't want to take the drugs that dope them up. They want to be whole and be able to function and so, you know, they don't want to be fuzzy-headed all day, and they have trouble with the mental fog in the morning after taking heavy-duty sleeping meds. But without sleeping, you know, especially night duty and stuff, heck, just being on constant call and rotation with, you know, shifts and stuff, shift workers suffer terribly as well.
Oh, it's nerve-wracking, yeah.
Can really mess up your whole system. So there's so many levels of this that you, and the nice thing about, the thing I love about the Reiki is it helps to, I think it helps to help people sort of understand where it will help them and why. But I'm one of those people that it helps me to understand. But I love the fact that you don't have to know if you can just relax and trust a little bit and open yourself up to the possibility. You don't necessarily have to know at what level or in what category that needs adjusting. You can just sort of trust the process and go with it and see, you know, see what it does for you. So that's what I go
right.
for.
Right. I mean, you know, like people say the usual Reiki questions is, well, you know, is it a religion? Is it a dogma? Do I have to believe in it in order for it to work? You know, you don't ask a doctor these questions when he hands you a pill. So why would you ask a Reiki practitioner? You know, and the big thing is, do you really, because I've noticed this in treating people, do you really want to heal? Is it your own personal desire from deep within you, yes, I want to heal? Because there are some people who, for whatever length of time they've been sick or whatever they've tried, they're in a space where they're kind of negative toward their own healing. They can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They don't see that, yes, healing is an option for me. And what I find with people like that when they come for Reiki is, I can't help them as much as I anticipated or want to, because they're not allowing me. Deep in their subconscious, they're saying, nah, this isn't going to do it either. And if you approach any kind of healing, any kind of therapy, any kind of treatment with that mindset, And it could be really deep in your subconscious. It doesn't mean that you're thinking to yourself consciously when you walk into my office, this isn't going to work. But it's deep in there, then it's not really going to happen. So the best way to approach Reiki is not to say that you believe in it, but to say that I'm going to accept and allow this therapy to do what it does to help me. And I feel that if you approach it in that regard, any kind of healing, doesn't have to be Reiki, it could be acupuncture, chiropractic, massage, have you, it'll work. It'll work much better.
I agree. And, sometimes I just tell people that, we don't always, everything affects everything, even on a cellular level. And because we don't always know what brought us to something, like which came first, the chicken or the egg, sometimes the Reiki will work in the first line, the first level. I always tell people it's kind of like you can't get down to the deep cleaning when you've got dust falling from the ceiling. So you kind of have to start with this at this level, and it'll meet you exactly where you're at and give you what it is you need in the moment. Sometimes getting to a disease or a healing means working on some self-esteem stuff or, grief from childhood or whatever it may be. Sometimes we've got to peel back the layers in order for other things to rise to the surface to heal. So, and we don't always know. The client doesn't always know, and we as practitioners don't always know really what the deep-seated source of it. Is it simply genetics or being exposed to some toxin or poison that's, eventually grown and created a cancer or something? Or is it a lifetime of not feeling good enough and not, we don't always know. So that's where if you can get somebody as a practitioner, if you can help somebody to come to a place of just trusting a little bit, it's not about me, it's not always about them, just like relax and open up and let's see what happens. I find I get such a better idea of what's going on with the client with feedback on how did the session work for them, what did they notice, how long did it last. Sometimes the feedback they give me after each session tells me far more than what I'm, learning during the session.
Exactly. And, it's amazing because I have training in Chinese energetics, and a lot of times I'll use that on people, and it's kind of what the chiropractor Cam Ewan had come out with. As a matter of fact, I have taken a couple of Ewan classes back in 2011. Did not get certified by Dr. Ewan because my teacher cut his offering of classes in the middle, so I couldn't continue with him. Kind of like hanging out there, but I still do, I practice it. And I notice when I do this work on people, like they say, 93% of illness comes from things that are deep within your subconscious, things that need to be brought to the surface and dealt with and cleared or neutralized or whatever, because subconsciously you're holding on to these things, you're hanging on to these things. And the other 7% is definitely a physical issue that needs to be dealt with on the physical plane and with physical therapy. And even then, you may not be able to clear it 100%. But, it's amazing because lately I've been doing work with people, and the last two sessions I had with my clients, they cleared really quickly. Issues that they had, they cleared very quickly. And I was amazed because I'm like, wow. And they asked me, like, well, what are you working on? And one, I said to her, well, I'm not telling you because your subconscious mind, because, she's a very intelligent woman. She's a therapist, a psychotherapist herself. And I said, if I tell you the issues I'm going to be working on with you, I know you will hold on to them. I'll clear them. You will reseat them.
Yeah.
We don't want to go there. Okay.
So, I do that.
Yeah, you know, I would do it, you know. So, you know, when you know who you're dealing with because they're very much like you, you have to take a different approach. So I said, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to say words 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or issues 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and we'll clear you. We'll get you neutral. We'll clear you. And then you can report back to me next week how you feel and what's gone on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She'll come back for her next session the following week. You're like, well, how do you feel? And she'll tell me, and all of those things that I cleared were gone. So she'll say, well, now will you tell me? I said, yes, now you can see the words. And I'll show her what was cleared and what she released, and then she'll think back and she'll and say, oh, yeah, I did have a feeling that that was gone, or I have not been doing that, or I have not been feeling that way. And it's like, aha.
That really is.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, you know, like they say, KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it, you know, simple, silly. But we need to keep things simple in our lives. However, we as human beings, we as living, breathing organisms with all of the components that we have in our physical body, not to mention the mental, emotional, and spiritual things that are deep in our psyche, in our subconscious. We are really, when you think about it, we are complex machines. We are really sophisticated, complex machines.
If you choose to believe in past life experiences and you bring that into play, it's like it's a wonder we can get out of our own way sometimes.
Exactly, because then you have that stuff coming up too. Wow, you know. I'm a big believer in past life, yeah.
You know, I've experienced it, so it's pretty crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing when you start applying these things, you know, and a lot of these people, it's like, we're all like, I want, desire is in the forefront, and so many people don't realize that desire is a component of ego. So if you're going to be driven by desire and want and ego, you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you need. Like people say, well, you know, I'm hoping for this and I want this. And I say to a lot of my clients, it's not what you want. It's not what I want. Take the want out of everything. It is all about what is to be. So when they say to you, just be. Be in the moment. Just be.
Mm.
Not thinking about what I lost, what I could have had, what I want now, how I want things to actually play out. You're just filling your life with a lot of junk. And filling all of your bodies, you know, your whole auric field, you're filling that with a lot of junk, which is preventing you from actually getting to where you really not want to be, but where you need to be.
I know.
So, and the Reiki, you know, when you're in that relaxed state, I'm sure if you had someone on the table and they've been there about, let's say 45 minutes, and if you said to them, okay, what do you want right now? What do you want to be? Where do you want to go? They just look at you and just want to roll over because they're in such a state of bliss. They're so relaxed. They don't care about all that other stuff at that moment.
Yeah.
So I think that's
typical
where we all
want to stay here.
Exactly. So, I mean, we all need to cultivate that kind of moment in our day-to-day lives, I think. And things would just go so much better. I mean, I have a sign in my office that says, you know, it's that big red circle with a red slash going through it. And in back of that red circle is multitasking. No multitasking.
Mm.
I hate it. I think it's the worst thing that could have ever been promoted, because how can you be in the moment if you're multitasking?
That's so true. So true. But then look at every mother on the planet, and, you know, if you don't multitask, somebody falls through a hole. You know, it's like you never get anything done. But, yeah,
this
it's a challenge.
This is true. However, I'm going to bring out one point. Multitasking for a mother, and for a mother only, okay, is actually almost divine feminine grace. It's not something
they've... Oh, I love that. That's very true.
It's nothing they've aspired to. It's nothing they're learning or have learned or are attempting to do or trying with all their might to do. It's innate. It's in there. We came with it as women.
You're so right. And it's intuitive. Because you know when somebody's, when it's quiet and somebody's doing something that's dangerous, you know.
Sure you do. Even if they're not in the same location as you.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, but I mean, through the years, when you look at job ads, must multitask. Needed, you know, multitasker needed. You know, you need to do 100 different jobs, and if you can do that, I'll hire you for this one job. And to me, all that translates to is, look, I need an office manager, bookkeeper, secretary, gopher, and I don't want to put out $150,000 in salary for these, you know, couple of employees. I want you to be it. Run away from that job so badly because, again, like I said in the outset, this is greed. They want all they can get for the smallest amount of money that they could put out so they could fill their coffers and have the big luxurious lifestyle. No, 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 no. Simplicity.
I agree completely.
You know, I have to ask you, what kind of animals have you? This is interesting. What kind of animals have you done Reiki on?
Well, pretty much the answer to that is, what animals have I encountered that I haven't offered some element of Reiki to? It was funny. I was talking to my daughter about this the other night, and okay, so we have the typical cats and dogs. Because I have a cat that does go outside, there's mice, moles, voles, birds, and bunnies. Then there's goats, sheep, horses, donkeys. When my husband and I went to Ireland, when my daughter and I went first, we visited the donkey sanctuary. And I reikied the donkeys. Much if I come across, when we're on the boat and we're water skiing and stuff at my cousin's house, if there's a duck floating by, I reiki him. I kind of can't help myself. We were at the aquarium in Chicago, and it was really fun to send reiki from the outside of the glass windows and watch some fish would specifically swim back and forth and back and forth and back and forth where my hand was. And others, like, didn't seem to care one way or another. But then when I take my hand away, they would go back to their regular going round and round. It was the funniest thing.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Stand still or lets me catch it, I'll reiki it.
Yeah, I've had issues with birds. My cat came in one night. And she had caught two birds, and she had a bird hanging out each side of her mouth. I'm like, oh, dear God, please.
I know.
And one was dead. The other one, he was not dead. He made it through the night, and we had him here in the laundry room. And the next day, we looked for a vet. We took him to the vet, and he lasted another 24 hours at the vet, and then we found out the following day that he didn't make it. And they said, you know, sometimes when birds have that trauma, you know, it's so traumatic to the system, such a shock, they don't make it. And at that time, this was years ago, I was not practicing Reiki, and I felt so bad. And another incident was a bird fell out of a tree or something or whatever, and my ex-husband, you know, we took it again to the vet, and I'm like, God, there's got to be a way to, you know, give healing to birds, because they seem to be, like, very tricky as far as, you know, healing, cat, dog, whatever, yeah, fine, but birds are delicate. And,
same with because they tend to go into shock and their bodies shut down, and I think it's why they're so fragile. It's nature's way, in a way, when something injures them, almost of preventing long-term suffering by sort of shutting their system down. And sometimes when they're in shock, they just go quickly. But, you know, obviously I always take whatever I can to the vet if I can. A lot of times if it doesn't look, if I can't see any real injury or whatever, I'll just try to calm them from the trauma. I'll put them in, you know, we have various terrarium kind of setups that we've had gerbils in the past that has a, you know, safe screen, and I'll just do what I can to Reiki them and let them feel safe and sort of calm from the trauma of their experience. And I was really blessed with the Reiki master who taught me. She's become a dear friend and mentor to me, Heather Nelson. And she has a very strong connection to the angels and guides and so forth. She's a natural born intuitive and born a healer. And Reiki came, you know, along the journey, but she was doing the healing work long before she had the Reiki training. And she really taught me a lot about setting up protection and about calling in the angels. So I always call in the angel guides and the archangels. And even in communicating with the animals, a lot of times I'll call in, you know, one of my favorites is St. Francis, Archangel. Mm-hmm. L is for the wild animals. Mm-hmm. Archangel Raphael is a healer. And oh, yeah. Michael is a protector. So I'm one of those, if I have 10 different things that I think might work, I throw all 10 at it, you know, hope for the best. But, I've seen a lot of amazing things happen in healing, combining the Reiki and calling on the angels. And I think they're always around and always happy to help when they're, you know, especially for the helpless and the innocent and, you know.
Oh, they are. I mean, I tell people, you know, one thing you got to realize about angels, because I've worked with angels for years, I said, they're kind of like the way Reiki practitioners are, where, and you don't just send Reiki to someone because you think they need it. They have to ask you, you know, the person must ask you, unless, of course, they're in a, you know, they were in an accident and can't speak or what have you. That's a whole nother thing. But you wait until someone asks you. And even as far as practitioners and people like us, helpers and people in the service business here, we all want to, oh, I can help. And wait until help is requested, and then you give it. Angels are very much the same way. If you ask them for help, they will. They're waiting for you to ask them, but you have to ask.
And you know, the beautiful part about what you're saying, and I subscribe to this 1,000%. The beautiful part of this is that sometimes the clients that come to me, their greatest challenge in life is asking for help. They're not good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Burden of life on their shoulders. They're never asking for help from others, and that's something they really struggle with. And when I talk to them about the angels and stuff and they understand the concept and really kind of get the bigger picture on this, that they're around you all the time, but you really have to talk to them. You've got to ask for things yourself, not just let me ask for on your behalf, but you've got to start taking responsibility by asking. And when they sort of accept that and integrate it, it really changes everything, because they go from, you know, what the heck, I'll ask the angels, I can't see them, but you never know, and they start to feel some sense of being loved and being surrounded and not being alone. Then they start to see the bigger picture, that there's people who care and love them, who they can ask for. It's okay to ask for help. It's not a sign of weakness. I think quite the opposite. It's a sign of being really strong, that you can admit that you need help and let somebody else, you know, step in and do something for you. So it's really like I see a beautiful cycle go on all the time with clients when they sort of get the fact that, you know, maybe there's another way of doing some of this.
Well, I think a lot of us grew up, depending on the age, a lot of us grew up, you know, you have to be self-sufficient, independent, responsible for yourself, you know, take on a lot of stuff on you, which, you know, years ago, yeah, it made a lot of sense, but we're not living, like, you know, 200 years ago, we're living in the present, and it's okay to ask for help. Same thing with other practitioners. I feel like I'm on this campaign to help heal practitioners. I have people who say, yeah, I'm so tired, I'm so run down, I'm just, you know, I got to, and I'm like, well, do you do self-Reiki? Are you, you know, well, no, I've been so busy helping and doing, I'm like, listen to me.
Oh, first, I've been there, done that. Oh, yeah.
First lesson, okay? You cannot help anyone until you help yourself. For I know you're thinking this is selfish, this is egotistical, this is self-centered. No, it's not. If you want to serve a party of six at your dinner table, if you want to serve them a beverage, do you not have to first fill the pitcher, fill the vessel from which you are going to be serving the people at the table? If you don't put anything in there, you won't be giving the people there any libation to have with their food. So you have to start with you, the primary vessel, and then you go and you do, and you do what you need to do with other people. But you don't run yourself out,
Rose,
completely.
They're slower learners.
And sometimes,
some of us learn the hard way repeatedly until they finally get that fact. But you're
repeated and
right.
Repeated and repeated. Exactly. I have that myself. I mean, like, even now, I'm natural born intuitive. I've been doing this work, for years. And always second-guessed myself and had friends of mine say, but you're a wonderful psychic, you're a wonderful reader. When are you going to get this? I don't know. I've been trying, you know. And usually in the evenings on Facebook, I'll do a one-card reading. I'll put up a post and say, okay, I'm reading now. You guys got 15 minutes. And I pick one card for whoever requests it. I'll pick one card, and then I give you the definition and what have you. And even as I'm going through the cards to pick, you know, I'll say the person's name three times, and I'll be going through the cards, and I'll go to pick one and say, I don't know. And then my spirit guide will say, there you go again with the question. Stop. Just pick it. And I'm like, yeah, I do this all the time to myself, you know. It's that self-doubt. It's that, am I right? Am I, yeah. But... and that's all part of letting go. That's all part of just letting go. I mean, just go with the flow. We all find it so difficult to go with the flow.
I know.
And
I think that's
because of what we've been taught, you know. This is how it's done. This is what you do. Don't do that. You do this. And sometimes, you know, that's not what you're supposed to do. But you have to realize, like, years ago I was in therapy and came home and said to my husband, oh, I found out about this and it's my parents. And he said, well, now you got to blame your parents for your problems, right? I said, no, it's that they really did the best they could do, but their handbook, so to speak, was from their parents. And, you
exactly.
know, when you go back in generations, depending on what family you came from, I don't think anybody comes from a perfect family. Those people were messed up.
Well, you think about it, too. Like, I think about it, if you kind of look at the history of man and stuff, first of all, we weren't meant to be solitary people. Most people in the wilderness could not survive all by themselves. We need a tribe. We need a group of people and supporters. Not everybody can do everything. But then when you talk about, I think technology is brilliant and it's amazing and it has done so much for our quality of life and our time and everything else. But at the same time, it's a huge distraction. I go to look up something on the internet and 2 hours later, I'm reading the news, I'm checking Facebook, you know, I'm all over the
place. I know. Yep.
And it's, I think that, you know, if we lived on the prairie with no television or telephone or texting or anything else, we would feel a storm coming through, or we'd pay attention to the animals that we had, but we'd notice smells and differences in humidity. Now we have, you know, barometric pressure change, and everybody around us freaking out because nobody knows what our problem is, and then we realize, oh, there's a storm coming through. There was a time with man when we were more connected with the universe and nature and knew how to read those signs. And we've sort of come very dulled to, it's still out there. We can still connect with nature, but we don't. We go on the news station or we go on the Weather Channel and we've sort of dulled our intuitive senses And that's, I think that's part of the problem. And I think that's why even for me, with learning Reiki, it took me a while before I could trust what I was feeling or even feel anything at all. I didn't trust anything. I didn't trust the messages I was getting because it was so new to me to function on that level of just a lot of faith, that faith and confidence that, oh, okay, this does make sense. And I've learned now. Now I just write notes during sessions if I pick up on things. I tell the person with whatever it is, they can share it with me, whether it's, you know, if it's true or not true or whatever. And I don't know that I've ever had somebody look at me and be like, no, doesn't ring a bell at all. Like every single time, it holds some kind of, it makes sense to them, or there was a part they didn't tell me that hit the nail on the head. So I've learned to try not to get in my own way and just to trust what I'm getting and picking up on. But that's not easy.
No, it's not at all because, you know, like I said, we have all these preconceptions. And, you know, they refer to the monkey mind when they say in your mind you have a lot of monkey chatter going on. Well, what it's become now with all the social media, everybody on the internet, you've got technology monkey mind where you might not be having the monkey chatter in your brain, but you're looking and you're on the internet, you're popping from one site to the next, and it's like, ooh, yeah, because it's constant information. Ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at that. You're creating, you know, a monkey mind within from all of the technology. So it's true because, you know, the only way to really connect is to go within and silence the mind. And nobody nowadays is silencing the mind. How many people do you know that go to dinner with their cell phones and they're constantly looking at the cell phone? They don't even shut it off.
Yeah, I know.
Cell phones on 24/7. Now, if they're not on the internet, they're texting.
Yep.
Or whatever else they're doing, Snapchat and all of this stuff. And it's like, people just do not want to be in silence. It's like we're almost afraid to be alone with ourselves.
What will happen? It's scary. It feels like you could go crazy when it gets real quiet if you're not into it. Yeah.
And the funny thing is I love being alone with myself, and I have friends that jokingly call me a recluse because it's like, you know, you're always alone there. You don't leave the house. Like, of course I leave the house. But it's like, yeah, but don't you, you know, I'm like, no, I love my own company. I'm fine with myself.
Yeah.
I love what I do. I mean, there are days where I'll have a full day of Reiki appointments and Reiki sessions and counseling sessions. And then I have my classes that I give on the weekend. I love what I do. And for me, sometimes working is like fun. So, no, I'm not lonely. I'm not depressed. And I'm not a recluse. I just enjoy myself, enjoy my own company.
I think that's why I love the barn so much, too, is because the barn can be very quiet. And you can hear you're still animals and stuff, and you are communicating with them on a level. But it is so peaceful and quiet.
Well, you know how... You know how Long Island is. You lived out here. And I tell you, Westbury has built up because Westbury is nothing like it was, I'd say, 40 years ago when I first came to know of Westbury. And I see you're in Bucks County, PA. And maybe 15 years ago, we were in Bucks County, PA. And I'm looking and going, oh, I like it here. You know, any place where it's quiet.
Yeah. Well, and it's built up here since then. We moved from, our first house was in, was a little Levitt Cape in Levittown, New York. And Westbury was an apartment when we were first married, but I loved Westbury. But we couldn't even afford a house in Westbury. And then we found Bucks County and fell in love with it. And it was good school district, which is what we wanted for our kids. Very beautiful and peaceful, a lot of land. It's built up quite a bit because apparently other people also found Bucks County and thought it was a great place to live.
Yes. Over the years, I mean, it's just, well, my ex-husband's cousins had bought up a lot of property in, we used to go to Stroudsburg every year.
Mm.
And his cousins, about four of them, had gotten this great opportunity, bought a lot of property. I think each one has about 4 or 5 acres, had a house built. This is about 15 years ago, and it cost them about $140 to build a beautiful, brand new, vaulted ceilings, windows all over the place, gorgeous house on 5 acres of land. Here I am telling my ex-husband, we got to do this. You can't get any house over there now. It's all developed.
I know. If I had known then what I know now, dang.
We all say the same thing. It's like, oh, my God. So I want to ask you about equine Reiki, but first I have to tell you this little story. Years ago, I got a request from someone who said, please, can you help my horse? He's got an infection and a fever, and he's really sick, and what can you do? I said, fine. You know, it was the night before my Reiki circle, so she had sent a picture of the horse, and I'm looking at this horse and I'm going, oh, isn't that cute? They have him dressed up like a racehorse. The brain cells are not connecting because it's like, who would do that? You know, but anyway, I Reiki'd the horse, and the following night at my circle, I gave everyone at the circle a little wallet-sized photo of the horse in all the racehorse years that, regular horse. And the next morning, I got up and my guy whispers in my ear and says, you might want to Google the name of that horse. So I'm like, what? And, here I am, disbelieving. I'm like, I'm always second guessing. I know better than you do. Sure. So I said, okay. And I Googled the name of the horse and I was like, there was an article on the horse and they gave his name. I'm not going to give out his name, but maybe people will remember. This was a while back. So-and-so horse, who is a Kentucky Derby contender, is out on the track after his infection was cleared. He no longer has a fever. Yeah, this is mind-blowing. He no longer has a fever, no longer has the infection. He's out on the track. They're hopeful that next Saturday he'll be able to run in the Kentucky Derby, and my mouth is hanging open. And I'm like, oh, my God. He ran the Derby, and this had been his owner and more so the trainer. This was the trainer's desire for I can't tell you how many years. He just wanted to have one of his horses that he trained in the Derby. And he ran the Derby, and he didn't win. He came in pretty up there, but did not win the Derby, but he got to win the Derby. And the trainer was happy, the owner was happy, and I almost, passed out.
I love that, and it doesn't surprise me at all.
Oh, my God, he really was a racehorse.
Yeah, that is funny.
I think he was the only horse that I ever Reiki'd. I might have done one more, but, it's not really something I do a lot of. But, when you do work on horses, is it different? How does a Reiki practitioner Reiki a horse?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you go to them. You don't have them come to you because they don't fit on the table very well.
Yeah.
But they're amazing. Their horses are, and I wasn't a horse person. I was actually a little scared of them when I started doing this because
and the funny thing
I
is that's my favorite
knew,
animal.
I knew I didn't know enough that I could get myself killed if I wasn't careful because I knew how strong, and I also know from cats and dogs, they can sense when somebody's an idiot and doesn't know what they're doing or doesn't know. And they'll walk all over you. So I was very apprehensive when I first started working with them, but a good friend of mine started volunteering at Special Equestrians, a therapeutic riding facility near us, and she loved the place, loved volunteering there, so I looked them up on the internet because I was just curious. And then I read about these two horses that they were temporarily taking on. Horses that broke down on the track. A breakdown is a term where when they get injured and can no longer race, a lot of them end up being sold for slaughter or whatever. But this New Jersey rescue place took it on, and they placed them with special equestrians. Special equestrians, I think Alfredo, the horse that's now my horse, maybe was a little more injured than they expected, but they were doing everything they could for it, and special equestrians in general is just such a healing place with the most amazing volunteers and staff and horses. They're all therapy horses. They're all amazing. A lot of them are older, so they have physical stuff, you know, like all of us getting older. But Elfrio and Gigi were there, and I just sent them a message and said, hey, you know, I've Reiki'd my friend's horses, and I would guest speak at Del Valle College with one of their classes, equine massage and alternative therapies, about equine Reiki. So I figured I'd do whatever I could, but I was offering my help. And lo and behold, they said, yes, you know, whatever you could do would be great. So I started going there, and he responded so amazingly to the Reiki. And when you start to understand, as they patiently taught me more and more about horses and just how they sort of live and function, horses live very much in the moment. It's all about now. So if they're not feeling well, if anything's bothering them, because they're, you know, they're animals that are preyed upon, they're vulnerable. So anything with their legs or their feet, anything like that is good cause for concern for them. They've got a lot to worry about. It makes them very vulnerable, and instinctively they know that. So they can, living in the moment, kind of freak out a little bit about even a little sprain. But this horse had a considerable injury, and they were more afraid that before he ever healed that he could end up foundering and really have to be put down. So I figured, you know, we've got nothing to lose. Let me see what I can do. And Elfrio, from the first time I Reiki'd him, he responded. He is the most soulful, gentle horse. Racehorses are often portrayed as being these sketchy, crazy, neurotic animals that, you know, have to be controlled kind of thing. You could never have them as a pet. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I think the racing industry can sometimes make them that way. And there's always, you know, just like people, there are people like that too. There's always a breed that, you know, maybe can have some issues. But for the most part, all of the horses I've dealt with, they all have personalities, and they are all so intuitively connected to the universe. They know when storms are coming. They feel changes in the temperature and weather. It's often the reason for colicking and things like that. So we just worked with him, and the morning after the first time I Reiki'd him, he was on three legs. He was like a tripod. He was hopping and really not putting weight on that bad leg. And he'd been like that for maybe almost 2 months, from the time he broke down to the first time I saw him. And that first day after Reiki'ing him, he actually started to put a little bit of weight on that bad leg. And I remember Marka, the barn manager, who's now an incredibly close friend of mine, she was a riot. She was like, I was on the phone with, like, friends of mine, with the vet. Like, she was trying to figure this out because she was such a skeptic about Reiki. She's like, I change it, you know, and she's like, her friends are asking her other, you know, barn specialist friends, you know, did you give him any different medication, any different food? Did he? And she's like, no, nothing's different, but he's putting weight on this foot. So when I arrived the next day, I was as shocked as she was. Never expected to have that big reaction from him in a positive way. And that was like the beginning of it. I went every day, you know, through when he started to improve, and then I came several times a week and then twice a week. And, you know, we've been doing this for, I guess that was 2009. And then, of course, I thought raking the horses and stuff was safe. I knew I couldn't go to the SPCA or come home with a car full of dogs and cats, but I saw horses. And lo and behold, guess what? They're not. So I adopted him. So he remains a special equestrians. He works with the at-risk youth. He is very intuitive and would be the perfect horse to do unmounted therapy because he can't we've not tried to ride him. We just don't want to push it. He's done so well. He is full-blown running, galloping. He plays with Gigi, gets himself into trouble. You know, he's great. But he is fully part of the herd now. He's amazing. But, you know, I would love to see him working with veterans, with PTSD survivors, that kind of thing, because he is so sensitive to energy and to what's going on and to people. He really knows what's going on, and he totally has a purpose. And part of his purpose in ending up at Special Equestrians, I know, was to put me on this journey and teach me about horses, because I would have never, I don't think I would have ever learned this. And so much of what I know about it, I'm not a specialist in any sort of way, but what I do know and what I've learned with what Reiki can do with them, so much of that has been from him and the other horses at Special Equestrians. They, different ones with different issues, they teach me something every time I Reiki them. So it's really, they don't get in their own way. They're kind of in the moment. And that's really what makes them in so many ways easier to Reiki than people, is they feel it right away. You can tell they feel it. And sometimes they're kind of like, ooh, what's this buzziness going on? And I'm not sure about this. So they keep one eye on you. But it doesn't long to sort of go with the flow and just, you know, it's really very funny to watch them. And it's fun for me to see their owners observe them being Reikied, because they get like that loose, quivery lower lip, and they get sleepy, and they start yawning, and like this exaggerated clearing yawning, their heads drop. They do all kinds of things. There's this whole, I laughingly refer to it as the horse and pony show, because, you know, they do this whole bit of antics in releasing and clearing and stretching, and it's such fun to watch. And some of them, their issues are more deep-seated than others, but it's just, you know, you kind of meet them where they're at, just like you would a human, and offer them what you can. But I think the beautiful part with the horses in particular, but with many animals in general, is even if they're suspicious of you or have not had great experiences with humans, have suffered abuse or mistreatment or neglect, once they figure out that you don't want anything from them, that you're just here to care for and help them, and they can take it if they want, and if they don't want, nothing's being forced on them. I'm not making them do anything. I'm just offering them help and healing. By the time they figure that out, which usually doesn't take them very long, they are amazing. They work with it, and the gratitude and the peace that comes over them is honestly the most beautiful thing I think I've ever experienced.
Wow, that's lovely. You know, it's funny. California Chrome, I like the energy of that horse. He kind of, even though, you know, oh, the champion, the racer, the this, the that, he had a really friendly vibration to him. It's like, you know, I think if you got to know that horse, he had the personality more of a dog. That's just what he looked like to me. Every picture that I would see of him. Yep. And even I watched two races, and it was like he really did have the heart of a champion, and he was professional, and he, you know, very much, you could see, you know, he wanted to win. But there was just something about him, like, you know, hi, be my friend. He had this vibe about him. I felt bad that he didn't make the Belmont and get the Triple Crown, but beautiful, lovely being that he is.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. Some horses are bred for stamina, and some for heart. And I was told by a very intuitive person in looking at Alfredo's lineage, and he has Secretariat blood in him, that he was bred for heart. And that was why he was on the track and did so well for as long as he did. He was retired. After breaking down, he was 12, which is a long, you know, to be on the track for 9 years or more, and still placing sometimes, it's mm-hmm. pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if people could see the soul of a horse, it would really change, I would hope. And that's kind of, you know, you talk about your passion in educating. Mine is in people understanding animals and not just seeing them for objects that they can use or get something from, or as things that don't feel pain or emotions. Or, I mean, these horses feel it when their stall friends, you know, friends across the stall in the barn or to the sides, when somebody, horses are being bought and sold all the time. And, you know, I get it. Sometimes that's necessary, but they don't realize how much the animals go through and grieve and suffer when they've lost a friend that was their, you know, field friend that they hung out with and stuff, and they don't understand why it's being done, or even sometimes why they're being sold or changed, or, you know, and it does affect their performance. So if people could at least, even the animals that we need to use for work and so forth, if, because they are, let's face it, they're expensive to own. It takes a lot of money to feed them and care for them and, you know, good veterinary and that. But if people could stay, kind of meet them where they're at with their physical and mental, emotional, and spiritual openness and sort of assist them through that, they'd have so many less problems, because so much of the behavioral problems are really related to something else going on. And when you can kind of tap into it, it changes things. It really does.
Exactly. I know a lot of people think that, when I first came on Facebook, everything on my page, even my profile photo, was of a wolf. And wolf was one of my first totem animals. I connect deep in my soul with wolf. And but from when I was a child, my favorite animal always was a horse. And in my teens, I used to sketch horses constantly. I used to love sketching horses, and I love what, when Secretariat died, I cried for days. If I tell you, days.
Oh, I know.
And anytime somebody mentions his name, I'm like, oh my God, you know, I just have such a deep affinity for them. And it's funny because I have quite a few totem animals. Horse was never one of them, and I'm not going to try and figure out why or what. I love the animal. As I said, it is my favorite, but it's not my totem. But I just love them. And I remember one time, like you said, it's very expensive. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. If you're on Long Island, if you have 2 acres, or you can own a horse. But Rose, don't go there, because the food bills, the vet bills, you'll go broke.
I know. Well, that's me crazy, though, about equine Reiki. It's way more affordable than a vet call. I mean, a lot of vets, most vets in our area, it's $100 just to have them come out. So it's like, let's go the holistic route. I would never, ever, if the horse is injured, if there's a medical problem, absolutely, you call the vet first. You don't mess around with that. It's too dangerous. But in terms of preventative and, you know, doing things to help keep them balanced and to deal with things that are coming up as they're coming up before it becomes a full-blown emergency situation, it really is more cost-effective when you don't have horse insurance with a vet to do some of the holistic stuff. Acupuncture is great for them. Massage, equine massage, as well as chiropractic. Huge. Huge, especially because animals are here. Animals really are here on this planet to serve us. That's their choice, to come here and to help heal and serve us in many, many different ways. They take on our burdens and our stresses. It's why it feels so good to pet a dog or a cat, or
that's
why your senses when you're having a bad day, or you're heartbroken and they curl up on your lap, or your dog comes by your side. And
indeed,
it's also why when somebody comes into the boundaries that they don't like. You know,
Janet, we have like 30 seconds left. I just want to thank you so much for being here and hope you'll come on again sometime soon.
Oh, I had such a good time. It was so nice meeting you in sort of person. Thank you so much for having me, and I'd come on anytime you want to talk.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, definitely. We are going to have you on again. I'm glad you accepted. And it's been an honor to have you here, and I think we've had a great discussion tonight, and I definitely want to continue it again sometime.
Absolutely. The honor's all mine, Rose. Thank you so much for having me. And anytime you want to come to beautiful Bucks County and visit and play with some horses with Reiki, you just let me know. You'll be my guest.
Oh, I will let you know. Thank you so much for that invitation.
Yes,
thank you,
I'd love
sweetheart.
For you to...
All right. Take care.
You too. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.